The question today is, what is a blessed man? This is part number 4 of this series. We've looked already at how a man's blessed, and blessed means to be spiritually prosperous, divinely favored, or supremely blessed, or happy is that man. And of course, man means mankind, man or woman. And the word can be pronounced blessed or blessed, and it's okay, depending on the smooth English translation of that. But we looked in Psalm 1 and found that blessed is the man who doesn't hang around the wrong crowd. As he spoke there about not walking, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Second thing we talked about, what is a blessed man, was he who strives. The blessed is the man who strives to keep the commandments of God, obeying the light you've got, even though you may not be totally able to do it, but you're striving to do that. You're blessed. You're spiritually prosperous. You're advancing, if you please, the way the Lord would have you to do that. And that's a conditional promise, and therefore you'll have the condition will be the promise will be a reality to you. The third thing we dealt with in reading in Psalm 65, verse number 4, where it talked about, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach thee. That means blessed if you respond to divine influence. This is still a conditional promise. You see, man has a responsibility. This is not talking about any many, many more. God's using you to hell and some to heaven, you see. But He's talking here about you responding to divine influence. And we've said that divine influence, and I used an illustration about the fact that if I had a dog that was a little skittish of me, I could take a stake in my hand and cause him to approach me. Did I make him? No. Did I force him? No. But he came because I enticed him. And that's what God does through cords of love and bands of men that He talked about. And He does that using human instrumentality to reach out to you that you might come to Him. Now, how does that divine influence operate? Operated on our ears to hear, on our eyes to see spiritually, and on our hearts to understand. That we've dealt with that. But what did that He do to influence us? He gave every man light. He gave every man grace. He gave His Son to be the propitiation capable of saving every man. And He desires all men to be saved. And then He sent the Holy Spirit of God to accomplish a completed work in all mankind called Holy Ghost conviction. And we used the illustration of the Sermon on the Mount with the Beatitudes, at least the first 4, when it talks about blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. That's a progression. This is not progressive salvation, but it's a progression of coming to the end of yourself and of having the understanding you need that you might get to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must do more than seek. You must hunger and thirst after righteousness. And righteousness is Jesus. And to do that, it takes the work of the Holy Spirit. And you'll not brag about what you've done because He did it all. Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse number 15, and when one of them that sat at meat with Him heard these things, He saith unto them, blessed is he that eat bread in the kingdom of God. In other words, He's talking about blessed is the man who's saved, who comes to that point, and where he shall be filled, the Bible says. In other words, that means to really be saved. So therefore, blessed or spiritually prosperous is the man because he responded to divine influence which caused him to approach the Lord. And that's the only way any sinner can find or expect happiness is by responding to divine influence. Now, I want to say number 4, and this is a negative. You see, we had a negative, a positive, and a positive, and a negative in these 4 things we're dealing with. What is a blessed man? Now, this I want to say is blessed is the man who is not offended in the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about while your divine influence is causing you to approach, and while the work of reproval is working on you, bringing you to the end of yourself, down the narrow way to the straight gate that you might be saved. I'm talking about it's blessed is the man who doesn't get offended at that time. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 6, and Luke chapter 7:23 says the basic same thing. He said, and said, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Jesus said that. Now, the word offended means, the dictionary says it means to be displeased or angry at. The Greek dictionary means to be tripped up or fall by a stumbling block or an impediment in the way. It can mean to fall away from truth, which is the word apostatize, if you please. And did you know the Bible calls Jesus a rock of offense? Bible says in Romans 9:33, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." He also calls him a rock of offense in 1 Peter 2:8, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them that which stumble at the word, being disobedient." 1 Corinthians 1:23 said, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness." You see, had the Messiah come on the white horse to conquer and free mankind from Roman hand, they would have followed him, but they couldn't conceive of the idea that the Messiah was to die on an old rugged cross like he did. Therefore, he was and is a stumbling block to them, and they are offended. They were offended, and they are today. And they fell away from the truth. Matthew 13:57 said, as the multitudes were there in his hometown, and the disciples came and said they were offended, they said they were offended in him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house." In other words, and then after a parable was spoken in Matthew 15:10-12, and by the way, that was what he said to those in his own hometown. But in Matthew 15:11-12 here, we find that he made a statement. When Jesus went against the tradition of the Pharisees, for instance, they believed you had to wash your hands and thought it was law, but their tradition had been practiced so much that they thought it was actually law when it wasn't. It was just their tradition. And Jesus and his disciples had ate without washing their hands, and the Pharisees got all upset with that because they thought Jesus had broken the law. And in Matthew 15:10-12, and said, "He called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand, not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" See, when Jesus went against their tradition, they were offended. They stumbled over the truth that Jesus gave them. And the same's with us. We stumble not only over tradition, but preconceived ideas. Stumble over the truth. Fall away. And in other words, it's said that many is going to be deceived, offended in the last day. The Bible said in Matthew 24:8-10, as he's answering some questions to four of the disciples that were the apostles that were with him about the last days. And he said in Matthew 24:8-10, "And these are the beginning of sorrows." I mean, when there's going to be earthquakes in divers places, nation rise against nation and such like, they're just the beginning of sorrow. But verse 9 says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." In other words, people are going to stumble over the truth of God. They're going to miss Him. They're going to fall away. In fact, that's probably the great apostasy which will allow the man of sin to be revealed. And then we find in Matthew 13:20-21, as the Bible spoke about being offended here, in the parable of the sower upon the stony ground, it said, "But he that receives seed into the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, by and by he's offended." He stumbles over the truth that he really said he believed. In other words, because of persecution. In other words, they come to a place that their profession of faith wasn't what they thought it would be like. They thought they was going to have a life of Riley, there'd be nothing. But when you identify with even a profession, even though it's not real, you're going to be persecuted for the word's sake. And so they fall away. They stumble over it. They fall out of church. They're not backslidden by modern terms. They're just not saved. That's apostasy. And then we find there was a group that wanted to make Jesus king one day. And this, of course, was in the book of John, chapter number 6, where Jesus had fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And a group of them followed him. It wasn't all of them following him. But he talked about the bread of life. He talked about the water of life. And then he made some statements here to them, some strong statements. And in verse 60 of chapter 6 of the book of John, "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this," they heard the strong statement, "they said, This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And then Jesus spoke to them, of course, and said in verse 61, "When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, And by the way, these was not saved people. These mean they were followers, the whole group, not just the 12, but the ones that were following who wasn't saved. They murmured at it. He said unto them, "Doth this offend you? Have you stumbled over what I've just said? What, and if you see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believe not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." And then he turned and asked the disciples and said in verse 67, "Will ye also go away? Will ye also go away?" And then in verse 68 and 7 and verse 68 said, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." But what did he say that caused them to stumble over him? Well, he said in verse 53, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." In other words, that means wholehearted reception of Jesus Christ as Lord. And they wasn't willing to do that. And so therefore they stumbled over the truth and fell away. And then in John chapter 16, verse number 1, Jesus, when he was instructing his disciples and telling them some things, he said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended." I don't want you to fall away from truth. And he'd spoken chapter 14 and chapter 15 of the book of John to try to comfort them as he was about to leave. As he is heading to the Garden of Gethsemane, of course, we know he got on somewhere along the way. The Bible says this in the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse number 31. And, of course, as he dealt with this, he was talking to really all of them, really, all of the 11 apostles at that time. But in verse number 31 of chapter 26, then said Jesus unto them, "All of you shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad." Well, Peter spoke up in verse 33 and said, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended." Well, not only did Peter say that, all in verse 35 said, "Likewise also said all the disciples." All the apostles said that. But they were offended when Jesus was come. They come and arrested Jesus there in the garden. They were offended. Verse number 56 said, "Then all the disciples forsook him and fled." You see, they were offended. They stumbled over truth. They fell by the wayside. And really what I'm trying to show you is that while God's working in your life, the work of reproval, while He's bringing you to the end of yourself to save you, please don't, and He's causing you to approach, don't be offended. Don't stumble over the truth that God gives you. For if you do, you'll not be blessed. But if you'll not be offended, you'll be blessed. Spiritually prosperous is that man. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.